Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. We're continuing to learn about proverbs and the pearls of wisdom that you can find in so many proverbs around the world. Now, we've talked about a lot of different proverbs over the last couple of days. We even had fun trying to bring some of these proverbs to life. Now, what are some of the proverbs that you can remember from the last couple of lessons, Carolyn?
Well, one that I really liked was from Egypt that says that friendship doubles joy but halves grief. So, if you have lots of friends around, you won't be as upset. And friendship is really important.
All right. Friendship, of course, is really important. One I liked from Africa says, a roaring lion kills no game. Okay, that means you can't just sit around talking about doing something. No, go and do it. Talk the talk is not very good. You need to walk the walk. All right, well, we have more proverbs to learn in today's lesson, so let's get started.
Pearls of Wisdom in Proverbs. Many proverbs are ancient, but some are contemporary. Here are some English language proverbs that have been coined since 1900. Wake up and smell the coffee. This warns you to be attentive to a situation and find out the truth. Someone may also tell you to get your ducks in a row. This means you should get organized. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. So if you can't deal with the pressure of a situation, you should leave. Labels are for cans, not for people. This tells you that you should not decide what people are like before you really know.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady Ellen. Welcome back for our third and last day of learning about proverbs from different cultures. Before we begin, let's take a look at our vocabulary for the day. Attentive. Attentive is an adjective. The young man was very attentive to the pretty girl. Label. Label is a noun. Gino read the label on the can before he bought it. Impression. Impression is a noun. Be polite and you'll make a good impression. Creativity. Creativity is a noun. Make anything you like. Use your creativity. Your more information word is coin. Coin is a verb. Let's dive in and find out more.
Okay, let's go back to the top of our lesson here. We read, many proverbs are ancient, but some are contemporary. Well, what's the difference there, Carolyn?
Well, if something is ancient, then it has been around for a very long time. But if it's contemporary, then it is modern or recent. So we're going to be learning about some other proverbs that have come about in recent history. They are much more contemporary.
And we read here, are some English language proverbs that have been coined since 1900. All right, well, you're here at Studio Classroom learning English, so here are some proverbs just for you. They were coined since 1900, so that's pretty recent. Now, what does it mean to coin something? That means you come up with the phrase, or you invent the proverb. You invent a saying. For example, you know that William Shakespeare has coined many English words and some English phrases. Another person who coined many English phrases is William Tyndale. Look him up online if you get the chance.
That's right, and there are many phrases. We see one right here. Wake up and smell the coffee. This is a very popular one since coffee has also gained in popularity. And if you hear someone tell you, wake up and smell the coffee, this warns you to be attentive to a situation and find out the truth.
Well, we need to be attentive to that word. The word is attentive, straight from the word bank. If you are attentive to something, that means you are paying attention to it. You're focusing on it. You're not ignoring it.
That's right. So you're listening closely, trying to learn as much about something as you can. So if you are in class right now, you should be attentive to your teacher, or you should be attentive to the lesson. If you are at work, then you should be attentive to your work or to what your boss tells you to do.
It's true. You don't want your boss or your teacher saying, he's not a very attentive person, right? Okay, so it's important to pay attention to a situation to find out the truth. Wake up and smell the coffee. It could also mean that you stop living in a dream world or a fantasy world. Get back to the real world.
That's right. Well, we continue learning about some more proverbs. Someone may also tell you, get your ducks in a row. Gabe, what if I don't have any ducks?
Well, then I guess you can't get them in a row, Carolyn. You can't put anything in a row if you don't have that thing. Now, can you?
Well, no, but it's not actually talking about putting your ducks in a row right next to each other. One, two, three. No, it's not like that. This means you should get organized.
That's right. So get your ducks in a row. Well, that word row, 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 I guess there are different ways to say that. Let's take a look at what Steve and Ken have to share with us in the information cloud.
Today, let's talk about the pronunciation of a very simple word, R-O-W. We all know that it should be pronounced
row. Little kids often sing the nursery rhyme, row, row, row your boat. We also see this word in our lesson today in the proverb, get your ducks in a row. However, row is not the only pronunciation of this word.
No, it's not. There's one definition of R-O-W that refers to a dispute or an argument. And when it's used in that meaning, the word should be pronounced row.
As in, he had a row with his wife, meaning he had a quarrel or an argument with his wife.
Now, Steve, I have to admit that I was not aware of this definition when I was living in the United States.
I don't blame you, Ken. It's a definition most Americans are not familiar with, but it's a common word to the British, and so we should know its proper pronunciation. But if you're speaking to Americans, it might be a good idea to use a word other than row when you want to describe a dispute or a quarrel.
Like dispute or quarrel, to avoid getting blank looks from people. 很简单的一个字 ,R-O-W, 我们都知道这个字要读 row, 就像划船是 row your boat. 今天的课文我们也看到 get your ducks in a row, 这个格言。但 row 有一个定义是争论、口角、吵架的意思。当你要用这个定义时 ,R-O-W 就不再读 row, 而是要读row, 这个发音很多的美国人都不知道，因为美国人很少会用 row 来表示争论，他们比较习惯用 argument, quarrel 或者 dispute 这些字，但英国人就会用到 row, 所以当你跟英国人接触时，还是要记得 row 这个发音。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, guys. Well, it is good to get your ducks in a row. If you're not an organized person, you can become more organized. Now let's continue here with another proverb. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Well, I wasn't in the kitchen, Carolyn.
Well, I know you weren't in the kitchen, Gabe, but this phrase means that if you can't deal with the situation, then you should leave. So we read here, so if you can't deal with the situation, you should leave. Or if you can't deal with the pressure of a situation, you should leave.
All right, well, maybe this describes you and a situation you're involved with. that might give you a lot of pressure, maybe in the classroom or at work or somewhere else, and maybe you shouldn't be involved. You should just leave the situation. Well, what's our next one here?
Well, you know, if you work in a kitchen, it does get very hot.
Yeah.
So if you can't take the heat that is in the kitchen, then you should leave. But the next one says that labels are for cans, not people. What does this mean, Gabe?
Yeah, it's very interesting. First, we need to take a look at this word label. A label tells you what is inside of something. For instance, a can or a jar. You can read the label and see what is inside. It has the title, what the thing is, and it also shows you the ingredients and other things like that. That's a label.
That's right, but this word actually has two meanings. If you use it to describe a person, if you label a person or put a label on a person, that means that you are describing them unfairly.
It's true. Or maybe sometimes people just have a label for you. They just call you something. For example, my friend labeled me the class clown when I was in eighth grade. I guess because I like to do silly things and make people laugh. So that was a kind of label. That's an okay label, but there are some mean labels that you don't want to label other people with, okay? Labels are for cans, not for people. And what does this tell us?
This tells you that you should not decide what people are like before you really know. So you need to take time to get to know the person and not just put a label on them.
All right, well, right now it's time for us to enjoy some time with Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Michelle。今天第一个重点，我们来看 coin 这个动词。Coin 本来有铸造钱币的意思，但是在这里是指创造或杜撰某个字或新的词句。例如 ，the term as if was coined in the teen movie Clueless。最好是这句话是在《独领风骚》这部电影中被创造出来的常用语，或者是 Shakespeare coined many words in his works。莎士比亚在他的作品中创造了许多的新字。继续我们看的是 attentive 这个形容词。Attentive 是指注意的或者是留意的。例如 ,being a professional receptionist, you've had to be attentive all the time. 身为一位专业的接待人员你必须常常留意各种状况。或者是 most of the audience was attentive during the lecture. 大部分的听众在演讲中都很专注。Attentive 也指殷勤的或者是体贴的。例如 ,Josh is very attentive to his wife. Josh 对太太非常的体贴。
We are continuing our lesson, Pearls of Wisdom in Proverbs. Now, today we are focusing on some English language proverbs that have been coined since the 1900s, like, wake up and smell the coffee, or get your ducks in a row. Well, we still have some more proverbs to learn about and how they influence other languages. Let's do that now.
Pearls of Wisdom in Proverbs. Learning proverbs in another language is fun. You can make a good impression with your language ability. But remember, proverbs are usually used in spoken language. They are rarely used in writing. If you use a lot of proverbs when you write, people will think you don't have original thoughts. So use your creativity and make up your own proverbs.There is more than one way to skin a cat.
Well, we've already talked about a lot of proverbs, and here we have a bit of advice for how to use proverbs. Let's read what this says. Learning proverbs in another language is fun. It's true. If you can learn a proverb in another language,You kind of feel good about yourself. You feel like you know a little bit more about that language and culture.
That's right. And it is a lot of fun because then you feel like that you're really learning the language. You're using something that is commonly used and it's a common truth for the people of that culture. Well, we continue reading. You can make a good impression with your language ability. And we see a word from the word bank there, the word impression. Now, an impression is what someone thinks about something. So you can have good impressions or bad impressions.
And of course, when you first meet somebody or a group of people, you might be concerned about your first impression. You want to make a good first impression when you meet somebody. That way, they will have a lasting impression of you. Okay, that's an impression that they will remember. It's a lasting impression.
That's right. So when you have your first impression, when you first meet someone, try to make a lasting impression with your impressive language ability.
But don't be unnatural. And our author here warns against this. There is a way to use language in an unnatural way where it seems kind of strange. So you want to make a good impression. Our author says, but remember, proverbs are usually used in spoken language. What is spoken language? Well, it's the language that you speak to other people, not written language.
That's right. We continue to read. They are rarely used in writing. So it's very important to remember that if you want to use proverbs and practice them, you should be using them when you are speaking, not when you are writing.
All right. But we continue here, and I really like this next point. If you use a lot of proverbs when you write, people will think you don't have original thoughts. All right, it's important to be creative in life. It's important to communicate your own thoughts, your own original thoughts. If you just fill up your writings with a bunch of English proverbs, that's not a very good thing.
No, it's not. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't use any proverbs. Sometimes proverbs are very good to use, and they really help you to make a point, especially if you are writing a conversation. Proverbs can be very helpful to move the story along. But if you're just writing an essay or doing some research, you should probably leave the proverbs out.
That's right. Okay, so there are different ways that you can help improve your English writing. And of course, your spoken language is important as well. So learn some of these proverbs and practice them when you are speaking English sometimes. Now, we read here, so use your creativity and make up your own proverbs. Now, there's a new idea, making up your own proverbs.
That is a very creative thing to do, and we see a word from our word bank, creativity. Now, if you have creativity, that means that you are able to use your imagination or think of things for yourself and come up with new ideas. Many artists are very creative people, so they have a lot of creativity.
That's right. They have creativity. They are creative people. Actually, I just want to say, I think everyone has creativity just in different ways. You might not think you're a very creative person, but I disagree. I think everyone has creativity just in different ways, and you should exercise your creativity. Use it just like you would exercise your body, okay? So exercise that creativity.
And you can try to do that by making up your own proverbs. Can you think of any on your own? It would be very interesting to know, especially since you are learning another language. Try making up your own proverb in English.
Actually, you know what, Carolyn? I did try to make up my own proverb when I was a kid. I tried to make up a proverb that said, or went like this. The egg is in the basket. Now, you learned another proverb like that yesterday, but I created this proverb, and what it meant was, the job is already done. Carolyn, I told my mom this when she told me to do something. I said, oh, don't worry, Mom, the egg is in the basket. And she was like, what? What does that mean?
Well, while you made up your own proverb or your own saying, it was not commonly known what you meant, so it didn't really work. But we see one more proverb here at the very end. Our author writes, there is more than one way to skin a cat.
There is more than one way to skin a cat? What does that mean? Well, that means there is more than one way to do something. And what that means here in our lesson is that there is more than one way to say the same thing. There are many different ways you could say something, and that's what proverbs are all about. Well, let's enjoy a review skit, and then we'll join Michelle in the language lab.
I love the ancient proverbs.
I know you do, but not all proverbs are ancient. Some are contemporary.
Contemporary?
Yeah. Many English language proverbs have been coined after the 1900s.
No, like
wake up and...
smell the coffee.
Yeah. Be attentive to a situation. Find out the truth.
I understand.
Oh, here's a fun idiom. Get your ducks...
in a row. But I don't have any ducks.
Well, it means get organized.
Ah, I understand.
Oh, here's one more. Labels are for cans. Not
For
People.
What does that mean?
It means don't decide what people are like before you really know them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, learning proverbs is fun. Oh, and you can make a good impression by using proverbs.
Oh, that's right. I can use proverbs when I write papers and letters and email.
Well, actually, proverbs are usually used in spoken language.
Are they used for writing?
Rarely. When you write, you can be creative. You can make up your own proverbs.
Oh, good idea. After all, there's more than one way
to skin a cat?
That's right.
To skin a cat. I don't get it.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 impression 这个名词。Impression 是指印象。例如 making a good first impression is very important when interviewing. 留下好的第一印象在面试时是非常重要的。或者是 I don't have much of an impression of Sandy's brother. 我对于 Sandy 的哥哥没有什么印象。它的动词是 impress, I-M-P-R-E-S-S, 意思是使留下好的印象。例如 I was very impressed by his politeness, 他的彬彬有礼让我对他有非常好的印象。最后我们看的是 creativity 这个名词，它的动词是 create, C-R-E-A-T-E, 意思是创造。所以名词 creativity 是指创意或者是创作力。例如 I was amazed by the director's creativity, 导演的创意让我感到非常的惊叹。或者是 the process of brainstorming can spur the creativity within us, 脑力激荡的过程能够激发我们里面的创意。And it's time to go back to our teachers.
Well, I've enjoyed learning about all these proverbs, and maybe you can think of some other proverbs in English. What's another good one, Carolyn?
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
And what does that mean?
Well, it means that your plans might not work out, so don't think about what you'll do next until you have actually succeeded.
Ah, that's a good one. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Well, I like chickens, and I like ducks, and one I really enjoyed from today was, of course, get your ducks in a row. And so I have my ducks here in a row.
Gabe, you only have one duck, not a row of ducks.
Oh, well, that's okay. He's a cute duck.
Well,
friends, thank you for joining us here today. And, of course, we have more to learn next time right here at Studio Classroom.
See you. A friend loves at all times. A friend helps at all times. A friend trusts at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend lasts a lifetime.